So we're starting a series this morning until Mark and Sharon gets back on thankfulness, honor, and praise. And obviously I'm sharing, preaching with Mac and Vessel during this time. So this morning I'm going to talk about thankful, shaped by gratitude. And just we're going to continue for the next 3 weeks on being thankful. But let me just mention this. Thankfulness, honor, and praise, they're not man's idea. You know, it didn't originate with man. That's God's plan. God loves those things. God loves thankfulness. He loves honor, and he loves a praise. So these are all godly, biblical things that we can do and participate in. And it's amazing that when you do these things, that it releases the power of God into your life. And I think I'm so aware this morning, I'm standing and I'm thinking, you know what, as Christians, we get saved, we say a prayer, we do whatever. When we become a Christian, we think that's it. That's it. From now on, I can just go to church, attend home group, you know, be involved a little bit, and that's it until I die. But I think we so often forget that when we become Christians, that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning. And I'm so aware that from an earthly point or a non-saved point, we become a Christian and we live in an earthly world and a physical world, but we are born again into a spiritual world. And we need to learn how to walk in the spiritual world. We need to gain understanding of how the spiritual world works. And I know, you know, in the 21st century, in the modern world, people don't think about, I think, the spiritual world and how it affects our life, but it does. And you can look anywhere in the Bible. Whenever God wants to do something, if he wants to bring about a miracle or do a work, it's someone is involved in that and someone needs to step out first. So, I mean, it's lovely. You don't ever in the Bible see where God is going to do a miracle or he's going to move in power, that God is doing it by himself alone. It's always people involved and people play a role. And it's so important to realize that you've got a role to play in your spiritual walk. I mean, we can't just read a Bible, come to church and expect God to do everything for us from there. You know, we can't expect to grow spiritually in God, in the Holy Spirit, in the gift, if we don't do something. I mean, we have to do something as well. It's both God and us. And have a look, Old, New Testament, even Jesus, before he did something, there was an action. You know, think of Moses, or you can think of any miracle, a breaking of bread. You know, Jesus healed the person who couldn't see. There was mud involved, and there was all these things. So God calls us to do something, and then something happens. And it releases the power of God. And in the same way, I believe that thankfulness, honor, and praise release the power of God in our lives. And we start to grow in our faith, and we start to grow spiritually, and we take steps in our spiritual life. Does that make sense? So, thankfulness. It's one of those things that you don't really often think about, to be honest. I mean, when I do a Bible study, or that's the last thing that I would honestly do a preach on or do as a topic to search on, you know, or a topical search or a study. But as soon as I started to look into this thing called thankfulness, I can see the biblical pattern in that as well, that it's God's idea. And when we do that, we've got that hard attitude, it changes things. God loves it. So let's say, giving as an example, so let's say you want to give, or your child asks you for something. I don't know, let's say it's a snack or something, and you give it to him, and he just grabs it and runs away. Well, we won't be fine with that. We would love to him to say, "Oh, thanks. Thank you for that." You know, it's just manners, to be honest. But, I mean, we would expect that. So imagine the same with God. God gives us something. I mean, the main thing is he gave us Jesus. He gave us our life. He gave us freedom. He bought us. He redeemed us. He justified us. My goodness, we've got so much to be thankful for in Jesus. And how nice would it be if we just acknowledge that? It's like, God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much. So I want to start by just going through some scriptures. So the first one is Colossians 3, verse 15 to 17. Colossians 3, 15 to 17. And it says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And while I was reading that scripture, I was just thinking of this. And I think we can over-spiritualize this, but it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So if you think outside of church, outside of the Sunday meeting, meeting at home or at work or late at night or whatever it is, you're doing things, you are saying things, maybe to your kids, to other people, you're involved on the weekend with things. In those things, while you're doing it, if you cannot do it in the name of Jesus, then there must be something wrong with what you're doing. So if I do something and it's not something that God likes, I cannot, while I'm doing it, praise God and say, "God, I want to thank you. You are wonderful. I worship you." I mean, if I'm doing something wrong, I cannot do the same. I cannot do it. So have a look. I mean, if you think about things, and I hope the Holy Spirit highlight things in you right now. And this is not a big heavy. You know, if we hear it, let's just respond and do it. But if there's anything in your life that you do, places you go, things you say, and you cannot worship God at the same time, then there's something wrong with that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and this is from the Amplified Bible, and it says, "Rejoice always." Sorry, let me just go back. Let me mention this quickly. So if I slander someone else, I'm talking to Maureen, and I want to just give her the facts, like Mark said the other day. I just want to give her the facts about someone who is lazy or whatever. You know, that's slandering. That's the kind of thing. I cannot then worship God and slander someone else or say bad things about other people at the same time. So even our kids, anyway, that's coming later. I don't want to run ahead of myself. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. "Rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing in and persistent in prayer. In every situation, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Holy Spirit." But listen to this. "Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. In every situation, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." And I think this thankfulness is such a wonderful life thing. But actually, this comes through as like a command. Be thankful. You know, it's a weird thing. Be thankful. And it just becomes more clear as we go through scriptures that God expects us, you know, be thankful. And you might sit in a hole and you think, "I've got nothing to be thankful for." Take time. Ask God, "God, what can I be thankful for?" And the main thing is Jesus that you can be thankful for. There will always be something. And I think this is where you can fall into danger. So we can get you on a Sunday and we can listen. And we can have coffee and we can sing songs and we can walk out. But we listen, but we never actually do or apply what we heard. And it is so important that if you want to take that step in your spiritual growth, is to listen, hear what God is saying, and do it. Just be obedient. And you'll see, you'll start to see steps, you'll start to see growth in your spiritual life. Don't just hear, but obey and keep on doing that. Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 21. And it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, being subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." And it's amazing, as I start to mention all these scriptures, you see what an important role thankfulness plays. And it's something we have to check on. So on that scripture, they mention three things: praising God, singing songs, giving thanks to God, and submitting to one another. And every Christian must be able to do those things. If you struggle to do those things in your life, it might be that you need more of the Holy Spirit. You may be tapped in, but you need a bit more to do those things. Philippians 4:6, and it says, Philippians 4:6, also in the Amplified, it says, "Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your request known to God." Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but make your request known to God. And I know it's easy to say, don't worry, don't be anxious, things will work out. To be honest, I've been in situations where things didn't work out. And I thought, far out, this is now going to be the end of the world. But it's not. You know, some way we get through it, and God fixes things, and months later, I've actually forgotten about it. But we go through situations, we think, far out, this is the end. I don't know how I'm going to get through this if God doesn't come through. And sometimes He doesn't. But it works out. And He comes through anyway, but not the way we expected it to happen. Colossians 4:2, and it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." How amazing is this? This is so important scripture. And this is a command: devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You see how that theme just comes through every time. And I think something that we need to watch out for, if we pray for others, and especially in prayer meetings or when we pray together, we almost want to give God the background information of what we're praying on. And I think we have to be careful that, you know, when I pray for, let me just mention a name that's not here or not in the church. I don't know. Simon. I don't think we've got a Simon in the church. And I pray and I say, "Oh, God, you know how Simon is lazy. You know that he's an awful father. And you know how he's getting drunk. And God, you know Simon." What am I doing? I'm just speaking all these things over this poor guy. And do you think that pleases God? I don't think so. If we highlight someone's sin in a prayer, say, "God, you know, let me point out his sin," you know? And I think it's so easy that when we speak to one another, we pray, we just want to give God a little bit of a background. Just remind God, you know, what an actual idiot he is, and that you please break into his life. That's not right, you know. And so what at that point, just stop and ask God, "God, please show me good things in this person's life. Show me how you see this person." And the Holy Spirit will do that. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Another three, and then I'm done with the scriptures. And it says Romans 1:8-9. This is in the NIV. And it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit and in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you. But first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ." Ephesians 1:15, NIV as well, it says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." 2 Timothy 1:3, "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." I thank God. And that's the scriptures. Oh, there's more, But this thank you, this thankfulness theme coming out of the Bible, and that's not coming from people. That is coming from God. So there's something in this thankfulness. So let me move on to Thanksgiving, John 6. And this is the scripture where disciples, Jesus, they gathered. There were 5,000 people, and they were all hungry. He said, what must we do? Jesus said, yeah, well, let's feed them. So I pick up from there, and it says, Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. So how amazing is that? And he says, Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And when you look at that scripture, it doesn't say Jesus fasted, prayed for half an hour, begged God to do this. And he said Jesus took the loaves and he gave thanks, and then the miracle happened. On that scripture, in the same way with us, is when we give thanks, when we do something, it releases the power of God. Listen to us. This is in John 11. And this is when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. So verse 38. And he says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Thanksgiving releases the power of God. But the opposite is also true. Opposite is also true. Complaining, grumbling, arguing, fault-finding releases the power of the enemy. So although God loves Thanksgiving, he hates complaining, grumbling, arguing, fault-finding. And oh my goodness, it is so easy to fall in that trap. I think we all know that. So Philippians 2:14, this is in the New Living Translation, it says this, do everything without complaining and arguing. It's quite a complicated scripture, this. You think, what does it mean, you know? Do everything without complaining and arguing. And I think in the Greek, it says the same probably. Do everything without complaining and arguing. It's easy. What does that mean? Do everything without complaining and arguing. It's very simple. And look, I can sometimes complain. So do everything. Jude 16. And it says, these people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Grumblers and fault finders. Look, I mean, when you think this applies to you, don't make a biggie out of it. Just don't do it. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters. Some of them were, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink, got up, and to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by a destroying angel. I think that's very clear, God's attitude towards grumbling and complaining. The people who got killed. And you wonder, why don't God kill us now? And why don't we get killed when we grumble? And I think God wanted to make a point, and he says, That's an example. Obviously, I want to have people left over after 100 years. Otherwise, there's not going to be anyone left. But I think in that scripture, we can see God's attitude and his heart towards grumbling. Numbers 14, verse 36. Numbers 14, verse 36. So this is how they're going into the promised land. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men, so that report, I find it fascinating. The question was never, are we going or not? The question was always, we are going, but go and scout the land. So these guys came back and said, oh, maybe we must not go. Anyway. Written made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Same thing, if we spread a bad report, God's probably not going to kill us on the spot, but he wanted to make a point of what he is like. So do not spread a bad report. It didn't go well. Let me just stop there for a while. Grumbling and complaining, and look, this might be sore, but you'll get over it. We grumble and complain so easily. We grumble and complain so easily. And we grumble and complain and argue and find fault in different areas. And I've just got a few things here that I've noticed. Obviously not of anyone in this church. But I've heard parents grumble about their kids. And it is terrible. I've even heard people say, my kids are feral. I've heard people say that. Obviously not in this church. But I've heard people say that. Our kids are feral. And remember what I said in the beginning. Thanksgiving releases the power of God in your life. These things, complaining, grumbling, arguing, fault-finding, release the enemy's power. So if you speak that over your kids, that's what they'll be. And they'll grow up as that. That's what it is. So I thought, let me just find a definition for feral or feral child. And this is what the dictionary says, Mr. Google. A feral child is a human child. And this is a real dictionary definition. It's not made up by me. A feral child, I didn't even think there's something like it, but there is something like it. A feral child is a human child who has lived isolated from human contact from a very young age. And so it had little or no experience of human care, behavior, or human language. Feral children may have experienced severe abuse or trauma before being abandoned. And we don't know what we are saying. But you know what? We say things about our kids. And we moan about our kids. And we complain about our kids. And we argue and we find fault with our kids. And we speak those things over them. But they carry power. They carry power. Or it releases, it opens the door for the enemy. Okay, your kid will be feral. That's okay. So let's change that. Let's change that. So instead of saying what you're thinking and seeing, is call out the God in them, the God-given things in them, and prophesy over them and speak life over them. Although at that moment when they're naughty, you don't want to do that. Just send them to the room, you know, until you're relaxed or calm down. But then at the end, it's call them back and speak life over them. Say, you are a child of God. God loves you. He's got a plan for you. You know, he doesn't want you to behave in this way. So there's different ways of doing it. Complaining, grumbling, arguing, fault-finding about preaching. Oh, far out, you know. What did Mark think? Luckily, it's all about Mark. He's not here. He can't defend himself. But did they even prepare? I mean, who's listening to that message? Couldn't he come up with something better? You know, it's so easy to mention fault-finding and complaining. You must see our home group leader. The guy's nowhere. I don't even know if he reads his Bible. You know, can't they do something interesting? Can't he come up with something new? We find fault, we grumble. Children's church teachers. Parents complaining about children's church teachers. Very easy. Very easy. Venue or setup. This place is so cold. I hate this building. I don't want to set up anymore. I don't want to pack out chairs. I don't want to do coffee, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, get over it. Numbers 21. Did you see that was quite sore? But you'll get over it. So listen to the word and do something about it. Change. Numbers 21. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake, put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. So the people grew impatient. They started to complain. They started to speak against God and Moses. And people got killed again. You know, it's not a good thing. Not a good thing. So, like I said, in the same way, thankfulness releases the power of God. Grumbling, complaining releases the power of the devil. And I want to ask this question before I start to close. And it says, I want to say, what is shaping your life? Is it thankfulness that's shaping your life? Or is it the grumbling, complaining, fault-finding that's shaping your life? And the remedy of fault-finding, grumbling, is to look at the cross and is to see what God has done for us, is to see what Jesus has done for us. Because each one of us, we're at a place where we were guilty. And it doesn't matter how many sheep were slaughtered to die in our place, it could never be the final thing. Jesus died in your place. That's it. And He bought your freedom, and He bought my freedom, and He set us free. So we can live for Him. We belong to Him. And the Holy Spirit shapes our life because He leads us and He guides us and He teaches us and He empowers us. And I think we can sometimes miss what the Holy Spirit is doing. Look, I've got so many stories of how the Holy Spirit led us in terms of prophetic words, words of wisdom, that got us to a place. We say, "Oh my goodness, God, thank you so much for this. Thank you for this guidance." So the remedy for murmuring, complaining, fault-finding is look at the cross. Be thankful. And let that be a habit in your life. Whenever we meet together, whenever we worship together, is look at the cross. Like, "Jesus, I want to thank you so much that I don't have to die this eternal death. But you died, you arose from the death, and you saved me." And then when we do that, all the other complaining and grumbling, they just almost dissolve, to be honest. So Romans 1, 20 and 21 says this. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So from the creation of the world, His internal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen and being understood. But so people are without excuse. So although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. So although they knew God, they neither glorified Him or gave thanks to Him. And when we gather this morning or mornings like this, we've got an opportunity to glorify God and we've got the opportunity to give thanks to Him, give thanks to God. And that is what I want to do this morning. So we left two or three songs for the end that we're going to do. I want to pray for us. But remember what I said in the beginning. And I said, when you get saved, it is not it. That is only the doors open. That's the start of your journey, your spiritual life. But you have to grow, and to grow, you have to take steps. And you have to do things, because God is not going to do everything for you. We've got a role to play as well. But the least that we can do is with our lips and our words is to glorify God. Whatever that means. I mean, if you want to raise your hands, it's between you and God. It's not between you and the person next to you. So if you've never done that, if you've never glorified God, just close your eyes, raise your hands and say, God, I want to glorify you. And if you've never verbally gave him thanks, do that this morning. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. And when you do that, it will open the door and you'll see spiritually, things will start to change in your life. The spiritual walk will start to get easier. God will start to open a bit more and a bit more. You start to see more. And you feel like you've got a bit more power. The Holy Spirit's got a bit more foot in there as well. Because we started to do something. And because we're obedient, we do something. God comes and he's doing his bit. And he adds to that.